Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James on this beautiful Sunday. When I left early in the morning, there was fog everywhere, and I thought I needed a black trench coat and a top hat, and that would be a good amount of fun. Welcome to church on this beautiful morning. I've got three announcements before we begin. The first is that to keep our prayer list up to date and praying for the people that needed prayers, over by the door that leads out to the Bruce Street entrance, on the little table, is a binder that has a list of names in it. And so we invite you to write the names of anyone that you would like prayer for down in that binder, and each month the sheet gets removed and a new sheet is put in. And so that way we're always praying praying for the appropriate people at the right time and keeping us up to date at that point. Second one is if you're looking for something to do on Wednesday evening this week, Mark Kingham has done one candlelit Eucharist, and this Wednesday at 7 is another absolutely beautiful candlelit Eucharist. There's no parts for the congregation to do. You just come into the darkness with candlelight and just be in the presence of God for a little while. It was a stunning service, and I can hardly wait for Wednesday evening. And finally, as part of the life of the parish, at our Vestry Sunday, our annual general meeting, we elect a number of people to sit on parish council. And parish council is the group that goes through the different situations of the church, has the finances reported to them, talks about directions, strategic plans, all of those sorts of things. This Sunday, we're actually having a commissioning of the parish council. I'd like to do that right now. So why don't I invite the members of the parish council to come forward? So if anyone has any ideas or things that they'd like to see happen in the parish, these are the people to talk to. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all given gifts for the variety of ministries for the good of the church. Today we recognize and affirm the ministry of the parish council, for which Barb, Jim, Bette, Tim, Judy, John, Libby, Allison, Laura, Jennifer, Victoria, Becky, and Patricia have offered themselves. And I ask the congregation, is it your will that these persons fulfill this ministry?
Yes.
And to the members of the parish council, you have been called to this important ministry. Will you, as long as you are engaged in this work, perform it with care to the honor of God and the benefit of the church? And to everyone, will you uphold these persons in this service? Then let us pray. Blessed are you, gracious God, our Creator and Redeemer. In every age, you call people to minister in your name. May the work of these, your servants, so build up your church that we may faithfully serve you and show your love in all the world. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Hold us in your grace.
We confess to you our selfishness and lack of love. Fill us with your Spirit.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you our fear and failure in sharing of our faith. Fill us with your Spirit.
Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
We confess to you our stubbornness and lack of trust. Fill us with your Spirit.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you all that distracts us from your mercy and love. In your gracious compassion, fill creation with your Spirit. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father of mercy, alone we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. When we are discouraged by our weakness, strengthen us to follow Christ, our pattern and our hope, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of God's holy word.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
The law of the Lord is perfect and rich. testimony of the Lord is sure, and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgment of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
I them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often they offend? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
Be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Christ had spoken. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I cannot hear the gospel lesson that we read today, Jesus overturning the table of the money changers, without thinking of an incident that happened a few years ago. So I'm going to tell you the story. The parish that I was in before coming here was engaged in trying to figure out how to reach out to the community, how to be a vibrant and visible presence in the neighborhood, and how to connect and engage with people in new and exciting ways. And one of the ideas that came up was a Christmas market. We thought this was a great idea. We didn't have enough people to make everything, but we thought if we held a market, we could engage with different vendors, invite them into the church where they could sell their wares, we could have the community in, and the plan was for me to have a table with white pieces of paper on it that people could make a donation for, and what they would do is they'd write their prayer request on this white piece of paper, I would take it, fold it into a dove, and then invite them back for Easter, because Christmas and Easter, and all these doves would be connected to fishing line and strung from the back of the church up to the front. And so it was their prayers rising up to heaven, and it was this invitation for them to come back and see their prayers rising to heaven. It was a great way to engage with the community, bring people in. It was super strategic. There was just one problem, and that was that the parish hall was being rented to a school. And they had exclusive use of the parish hall. So we had to find another place to hold this Christmas market. And after some careful consideration and some very strategic planning, what we did was in the main worship area itself, we put up the tables. And we put the tables across the top of pews going in the other direction so that you could go up and down the aisles and then vendors could stand in the middle of the pew section and sell out that way. It was great. We had a few things. We had some books. We had some candle vendors, a spice vendor. It was a fabulous time. And we got a ton of engagement from the community. It wasn't until 2 weeks later that I went into my office and folded elegantly was a note on my desk. I opened it up, and in the perfect penmanship that is rarely seen in this day and age, and the note I'll never forget said this, "Father Michael, I was very excited to attend the Christmas market, and I thought this was a good idea. However, you, all in capitals with three underlines, have turned my father's house into a den of thieves. How dare you? This was a terrible idea." Signed, anonymous. So I can't read that lesson without thinking of this. And I always wonder, did I do the wrong thing? Did I turn the church into a den of thieves? Granted, a number of people did steal the 50-cent paperback novels because apparently that was too much. Or was it actually an attempt at community outreach? Was it an attempt to engage with people in a new way? And I don't think I have a perfect answer. Because on one hand, yes, we did do things in a new way. We engaged with a whole different set. But for one person, who I will never know who it was, but I would like to compliment their penmanship, they were deeply hurt by this. And so we're left with this paradox. I don't have an answer that I can give you from up here. All I can say is that sometimes we're called to try things in a new way. And sometimes we might be made a fool of. Sometimes things won't work. And sometimes they will, and that's great. But I'm not sure the working is the point. I think sometimes it's the trying. God's wisdom is wiser than human wisdom. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. I love that because it invites us to recognize that faith isn't about always making sense. Faith doesn't always have to connect the dots in a perfect way in which you form a box and everything inside the box works and everything outside the box doesn't. Faith is bigger than that. It evolves. It grapples with the realities of the world around us as we try to figure out what God might be calling for us to do today. Whether that's a market in the church or whether that's something else that seems equally ridiculous. God invites us to try, just to try. Success or failure doesn't matter, but it's the spirit in which we offer ourselves. It's the spirit of reaching out and being willing, because of the love within us, to try something new or do something in a different way. When I was in seminary, I had a friend who was absolutely shocked to discover that Anglicans have their own rosary. Did anyone know that? A few people know that Anglicans have a rosary. Is anyone surprised to hear this? A couple of fingers are going up. That's great. But yes, there is this tradition of a rosary, which often can come across as this weird medieval practice or Roman Catholic practice to pray the rosary. And what does it even do? And in that class, somebody who was very familiar with it gave a long didactic explanation of how each bead symbolizes something and they go through it and this is how you do it. And at the end, this person said, "It makes sense, but it's worthless. Who would ever do that?" And it wasn't until practicing and trying to maybe do something that doesn't make cognitive sense that we discover something beautiful about it. This parish is incredibly, incredibly gifted when it comes to music. And I like to use music as an example, because you take a piece of music for the first time and you've never sung it before, and you look at it, and there are dots on a page. You can intellectualize them. You can say, oh, here's a C chord and here's a B diminished ninth. But it's not until you sing it, it's not until you live it out that you actually get a sense of the spirit, whether it's a happy piece of music or a sad piece of music, whether it's uplifting or whether it's contemplative. It's not until you engage with it that it actually comes alive. And I think that's a lot like our faith. You can think about it with your head all you want. You can make the comments that somebody dying and coming back from the grave, you don't see that every day, and so it's probably unlikely that that happened. But by living it out, we discover a truth, a transforming power that can do more in our lives than we can infinitely ask or imagine. It doesn't always have to make sense. Sometimes it can seem foolish, because God can do more than we can ever think. And so in this Lenten season, as we're journeying through penitence, through giving up things that we'd rather do, through all of the traditions that come around Lent, we know that Easter is on the horizon. God can take our foolishness and transform it into glory. So let us go on in our lives. Let us continue trusting that God will do wonderful things and more than we can ask or imagine. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand. So far in our service together, we've heard God's word spoken in the words of Holy Scripture. We've wrestled with what it might mean for us today. And so now let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I would invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
Lord, you come to your temple with zeal and indignation. Come to your church and drive from it all false piety and misguided priorities. May our words, thoughts, and deeds be acceptable in your sight. God of our salvation, we trust in your promise. Lord, you come to places of power, and some are affronted at your audacity. Open the hearts of all in leadership to the challenge of your kingdom. Revive us in your justice. God of our salvation, we trust in your promise. Lord, you come to traders with a vision that extends beyond profit. Keep us mindful of the conditions of production and social effects of what we consume. Balance all our trading with your fairness and equity. God of our salvation, we trust in your promise. Lord, you come to our lives with compassion and searching judgment. In our frailty, give us time to reflect on what is amiss and in repentance to seek your restoring grace. Create in us a fitting dwelling place for your glory. God of our salvation, we trust in your promise. Thank you, loving God, for comfort and sympathy, reassurance and practical caring when we are ill or sad. Make us all more aware of the needs of those around us and let our love be shown in action. Today, we pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Marlene, Sylvia, Robert, Ashley, Gavin, Catherine, Lou, Kathy, Joan, Robert, Fred, Melissa, and Sandy. Lord, you come with the promise of your resurrection. Give comfort and hope to all who mourn. Bring us to new life with you. God of our salvation, we trust in your promise.
After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. Gracious God, we know your power to triumph over weakness. May we who ask forgiveness be ready to forgive one another. In the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth, because you bid your faithful people to cleanse their hearts and to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that reborn through the waters of baptism and renewed in the Eucharistic mystery, we may be more fervent in prayer and more generous in the works of love. Therefore, we raise our voices to you in praise to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation. In calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, we break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying.
If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign with him.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Oh,
Let us pray. God of mercy and forgiveness, may we who share the sacrament live together in unity and peace. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.